Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show. The new Aviva in Malden opens today. Now, here's Grace Curley.
Just a side note, the new Aviva in Malden does open today, but I was able to go last night as a sneak peek, and it is stellar, so make sure you check it out. Now, I have a question. We're waiting Joe Biden. We are awaiting Joe Biden to tell us what happened during the Putin-Biden summit, and he's still not out there. How close by is this podium to where the meeting was?
I honestly don't know. It seemed like Putin just came straight out and walked into like a press room. Joe is in a more idyllic Geneva setting. Some flower boxes and a lake in the mountains. Very Von Trapp looking.
I wonder if he's going to be 2.5 hours late after his 2.5 hour meeting that could have gone for 10 or 11 or 12 hours, but it didn't. Yeah, I'm getting the feeling that they might be waiting, you know, to... give him a little bit of prep time, you know?
Yeah, it must have gone very badly if it's taking this long to put the note cards together. You don't know how fast the printer is. You don't know what the Wi-Fi is like at the hotel in Geneva, you know?
That's true. That's true. But I am curious what Biden is going to say because he didn't know how to play this like everything else. He started off so strong against Vladimir. You know, I looked him in the eye and I told him he's a killer. Cut 16, please, Jared.
So you know Vladimir Putin. You think he's a killer?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So what price must he pay?
The price he's going to pay, well, you'll see shortly.
Will we?
He should be on radio. That's a good tease. You'll see shortly after the break. Just hang on with us. Don't change that dial, George. And he also said that he thought that Putin was engaged in hacking. Now, I think what he means in this cut, because it's a flashback, They were big on accusing Russia of hacking things when Hillary Clinton lost the election. Not so big on claiming they're hacking things now. You know, now when complete systems go out of whack, they say it was a power outage or malfunction. They don't seem as trigger happy to say, oh, it was Russia. Let's do cut 17, please, Jared.
As I told him when I was running, when I got elected, before I was sworn in, that I was going to find out whether or not he, in fact, did engage in trying to interfere in our election, that I was going to take a look at whether he was involved in a cybersecurity breach that occurred, et cetera. And if I did, I was going to respond. I did. I checked it out, so I had access to all the intelligence. He was engaged in those activities. I did respond and made it clear that I'd respond again.
You can hear the strength, can't you? And the rambling sentences that don't make any sense. I'm sure Putin, I'm praying for Putin, man. I hope he's okay after that meeting. I'm sure Joe Biden really scared him. All right, now I'm very excited about my next guest. You guys know Libby Emmons. She's a frequent guest on the Grace Curley Show. She writes for the Post-Millennial. And I'm going to ask her a lot of stories because the Post-Millennial is the first place I go when something breaks. They always have the hottest takes. And even though all these stories aren't necessarily Libby's, she has a good feel for everything that's going on right now in the U.S. Libby, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, Libby. So I know that you probably saw the Jon Stewart segment that was heard around the world where he basically repeated what people like you have been saying for months and months and months, that it's possible the Wuhan virus actually started in the Wuhan lab. What I want to talk about now is this doctor who came out, Dr. Hotez of the Center for Vaccine Development, and said that this theory promoted by Jon Stewart hurts scientists. Do you buy that?
No, I don't, because scientists should be up for open inquiry. They should be following the scientific method, you know, as it's called, and really be doing some investigation. The fact that scientists were so willing to go along this year with the idea that the lab leak hypothesis could not possibly be real simply because they hated Trump is what actually hurts scientists and their credibility, I think, with the American public.
And yeah,
certainly it's not Jon Stewart.
Sorry, Libby, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I agree with you about that. And I also want to point to what this doctor is saying is very similar to what Dr. Fauci said. You know, any sort of attack on, or not even an attack, any sort of questioning, any sort of logical skepticism is an attack on these people. It's a personal thing. They're way too invested in this. And I mean, like, from an emotional standpoint, there's no objectivity. And I want to play for you Dr. Fauci and what he said about this and see if you agree with him. Cut 18, please.
People forget that, but if you go back then, even though you lean towards feeling that this is more likely a natural occurrence, we always felt that you've got to keep an open mind. All of us. We didn't get up and start announcing it, but we've always said keep an open mind and continue to look. So I think it's a bit of a distortion to say that we deliberately suppress that.
Do you think they deliberately suppress this theory, Libby?
I do think they deliberately suppressed the theory, and I think they did so for a number of reasons, but most of those reasons come down to they're not wanting to appear like they're not going along with the narrative. You know, I think a lot of that what we've seen in this past year and what we've seen with the lab leak is that they are so insistent that there can only be one way to talk about these things. And when they say there's only one way to talk about these things, that we can't talk about the lab leak, for example, that we can't say that the virus came from China because for some reason that's racist. When these kind of things come up, what they're really telling us is that the American people are too stupid to make their own judgments and differentiations and to form their own opinions. They're telling us that Americans need to only hear one message because otherwise we're likely to believe the wrong thing. When in actuality, Americans are really smart and we know how to differentiate from fact and fiction. And we know how to assess a, you know, set of data or information points and come up with an opinion on our own. We don't need these elite doctors and scientists telling us that there's only one thing that we're allowed to think and telling us that if anybody says anything outside of that purview, that's the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is that they think that we can't think for ourselves. I'm tired of that, frankly.
Yeah, and what it makes me think of, Libby, because it goes beyond the coronavirus. We're seeing it right now play out in the press where we're seeing one thing and they're telling us to see something completely different. And a perfect example is Joe Biden and this Putin-Biden summit. They're trying to convince us, whether it's Jim Sciutto or John Brennan, that Joe Biden is this political mastermind. And what we're seeing day in and day out, and I know the post-millennial reports on these videos a lot, is the very, very fast decline of a senile man. And so, like you said, it's two different versions of this, and the mainstream media is forcing one down our throats every single day.
I think that that's right. I really want the president to succeed. I really want the president to do well. When the president does well, the United States does well, and I believe in this country. But it's really scary, actually, to see President Biden look confused, to see him look lost. My grandmother is suffering from something that looks awfully similar to what Joe Biden is suffering from, and I hate to see her look lost and confused, but she has people around her who would never put her in these kind of positions, you know, people who love her. And to have our nation represented on the national stage by someone who just looks like he's in such stark decline, I don't think it's fair to the nation. I don't think it's fair to Americans, and I don't think it's fair to Joe Biden that he was put in this position where, despite what appears to be, I don't know, I'm not his doctor certainly, but what appears to be a mental decline is it's terrifying and it's sad. I think I'm sorry for the wind. Also, I'm standing outside.
Oh, no problem, Libby. But I like that you brought that up, and I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother. But it does show, and I try to steer clear of, you know, using anything that's too mean towards Joe Biden, because like you said, it is sad. And my uncle said to me at one point, you got to be careful with, you know, talk of dementia, because everybody knows someone who suffers from it. And it's a very serious thing. And like you, I don't want to ever come off like I'm enjoying this. It's actually very frightening. And it does make you think, I can't believe his wife and his family are letting him do this day in and day out. Now, Libby, I want to switch here for one sec, because the post-millennial, it's something I've noticed about your publication, and I love it, is that you guys do not hold back when it comes to Brian Stelter. It seems like every single day I'm reading a hilarious headline. Today's headline is Spud Dud, Brian Stelter mashed by competition, suffers worst ratings of 2021. And I just wanted to ask you, Libby, did you hear who was at Brian Stelter's book party yesterday?
Oh, no, I did not. You have to tell me.
One Jeffrey Toobin reemerged on the scene.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if he's going to get a book deal out of the Zoom masturbation fiasco.
He probably will, but Libby,
at least get a pamphlet, you know, a pamphlet distributed by HR.
Yeah, but you guys point out in the post-millennial, Brian Stelter didn't even report on that. That happened on CNN. He's supposedly, you guys say he's billed as a media program, and he doesn't mention one of the biggest stories of last week, and then he wonders why he can't break a million viewers?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be specifically concerned with what's actually newsworthy. He's most concerned, like so many of these guys, they're most concerned with upholding their fictitious narrative in order to retain some kind of, you know, power or moral superiority over the rest of us. And I think, frankly, we're just sick of it. We don't need this anymore. You know, we just, it's not doing anything good for the country or our national character. And I think it's actually fascinating, too. I don't know if you watched Putin gave his press conference after the meeting that Biden and Putin just recently had. And one thing that's happened is the U.S. is our level of self-hatred, our refusal to tout our good points, our inability to recognize our own progress leaves us weak on the national stage. And it leaves, you know, guys like Vladimir Putin able to brush aside the human rights abuses in Russia by saying, well, you shot an unarmed woman at the Capitol. You've detained over 400 political opponents without really releasing information about their charges. You've allowed lawlessness to reign in your streets. How can we have a position of, you know, international, any kind of international righteousness when we're so full of self-hatred that, that it's just so easy to show us, you know, to say that we're the bad guys, because we believe that too. Why do we believe that about ourselves?
Libby Emmons from the Post-Millennial, she's absolutely fabulous. Her stuff is awesome. Everyone should read it. And I love that point, because it's very, very true. We saw it when Antony Blinken had a meeting with the Chinese leaders where they just basically said, hey, you guys talk all the time about how racist and terrible your country is. Don't start telling us what to do. Libby, thank you for joining the show. We hope to see you again soon. Guys, I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, so I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats a Viva Trattoria. Now, Jared, I went to a Viva Trattoria last night, the new one in Malden. It's gorgeous. First of all, you know what I got.
Chicken parm?
No.
Arancini?
No.
Pizza.
I got the eggplant milanese.
Ah, yes.
And when I tell you, I have become an eggplant fanatic because of a Viva Trattoria. It's so thin, it's so yummy and breaded and crispy. And then what I got on the side might surprise you, Brussels sprouts. And they have a little bit of bacon or some sort of meat in it.
Bacon and Brussels sprouts, very underrated.
Delicious. I know we brought back Howie some, I think, chicken marsala. Just, the food there is awesome. The energy there is great. They have a warm and welcoming staff that is excited to be out and about and working. And you guys should definitely check it out. Also, if you want to enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, on Thursdays, we do Trattoria Trivia. And we always select a winner. We actually have our winner for this week, but wait till next week for our new trivia question. And when they come in, they bring such a spread. I'm talking like pizza, arancini, salads, everything, cannoli sometimes, just totally delicious. Their new location is officially open in Malden, so go check them out. Tell them I sent you there, and takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, tune in to the Grace Curley Show every Thursday at 1 for Trattoria Trivia. Get the to the Aviva Trattoria in Malden. All right, we'll be right back, guys. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. President Biden is officially out on the stage, not 2.5 hours late, but a little behind. And he's talking about what he told Putin. He keeps saying that over. I told him this. I told him that. And I just keep going, sure, Jan. I bet you did.
Narrator, he did not tell Putin any of that.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more skeptical. The more he says he told him things, I'm like, did you though? But what we're going to do, and I'll be curious if people like this setup, we're going to wait and then kind of pull all these cuts into small little chunks for you guys so that it's easier to swallow. Like Joe Biden says, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. So we're going to get these into little nuggets and then we'll show you them at 2 o'clock rather than just play through the whole thing. I don't think I can handle that. Now, a story that I am enjoying is a story about Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And I want to say something here because I've been meaning to say this for a while. Lori Lightfoot is a gift. She's the gift that keeps on giving. All right. First, I love this woman. First, she told us that she shut down Chicago. And she said, then she got caught getting her hair done after she shut down all the salons and the barbershops. And when that happens, you can go one of two routes. You can go the Gavin Newsom and get up and say, I made a mistake and I'm so sorry and I should have held myself to the same standard. Or you can go the Lori Lightfoot route, which is hysterical, where you say, I had to get my hair cut. I'm the public face of Chicago. Huh. And that's when I knew. I was like, this lady, she's a gem. Because that's a bold statement to make when you're shutting down hair salons. Because trust me, you ask any lady, they'll tell you their hair is just as important as Lori Lightfoot's hair. I'm the public face of my house, and I like to get my hair done. Anyway. Then it gets better. Then all of the Biden revelers came out in Chicago to celebrate Joe Biden's win. I remember this because it was November 7th, the day I was supposed to get married, but I couldn't because we weren't supposed to have large gatherings and everyone was celebrating in the streets. And Lori said, well, sometimes people just need to have something to, let out their stress. I don't know the exact way she said it, but she was making excuses for people, including herself, getting together and celebrating in massive crowds. Well, the latest Lightfoot revelation might be my favorite of all. Mayor Lori Lightfoot says email ripping aide over lack of office time that drew comparisons to a scene in The Shining was born out of frustration. And that brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Cape Gunworks. Get dad the gift of a lifetime for Father's Day with a firearm safety and license to carry class from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store to get dad's firearm class at half price today. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who would you rather work for? Amy Klobuchar, Lori Lightfoot, or Andrew Cuomo?
Amy Klobuchar. The comb story was bad, but this email that I'm going to read to you guys on the other side from Lightfoot is, it's insane.
Amy is running away at 64%, 21% for Andrew Cuomo, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot only at 15%.
So she claims that now she's in a better place with her team and that the email was born out of frustration. And so what she wanted was more office time, which I guess is, a time that's less structured. It's a part of the day where mayors can think or write or make long-term plans. It's like free time when you're at school. You know, everyone loves free time. But she wasn't getting enough of it. And so the email that she wrote to this woman, her aide, is, I want to frame it. It's one of those pictures or one of those emails I'd like to get framed. We will be doing a masterpiece theater of this on the other side. with a little help from the soundtrack of The Shining. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
So what I've seen thus far of Biden's press conference is it's very on brand for Joe. He almost called President Putin President Trump by accident, and he announced out loud, "I will be taking questions from my list." I want to play a little bit of this to give you a little taste of what we're gathering for 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is going to be Joe's time to shine. We're going to have gems just like this.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference.
Wowzers. Wowzers. It's already not going well. All right, now, before I get to Mayor Lori Lightfoot's lovely poetic email to her aide, we'll go to the calls. Ernest, what's going on, Ernest?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What's up with you?
I'm listening to this press conference. So, Joe Biden there, and every eerily reminds me of Neville Chamberlain before World War II out in the tarmac, when he comes off the airplane holding that piece of paper saying he spoke with Adolf Hitler. We have an open line of communication. Everything's fine. There's no sense of hardship or any kind of hard feelings, and we're all one big happy family community. And two weeks later, he invades Poland. I mean, Joe Biden's got sucker written all over him.
Yeah, he does. He's a patsy. He absolutely is, and I think even he knows that. I mean, sometimes he looks down at the microphone and says like, "Oh God, I shouldn't have said that," or "I'm going to get in trouble," and you just think, this is the guy who's coming from a position of strength. And I've only caught a little bit of it, and I don't want to give too much away for the 2 o'clock hour, but he's asked about the cyber hackings, which was a decent question. I mean, they still frame it like, you know, your predecessor didn't do anything about it. Well, guess what? They didn't hack JBS Meat Company when Donald Trump was president. They didn't hack the Colonial Pipeline. Do any of these reporters notice that? I know it's just coincidental timing because they're all private sector businesses and it has nothing to do with Joe Biden, you know, being a very, very weak president. But that's how they set up the question. But even so, you could set up a question saying, what's your middle name? And the answer from Joe is going to be something worth cutting up. Joe starts to go on and on about how the reason Putin is not going to do any of this, the consequences are that he wouldn't want to risk Russia's public standing, and that the standing means everything to Russia. I always say, I don't know what aggravates me more watching these, and now I'm at a very lucky spot where I don't have to watch them, but I listen to the cuts. Oh God, he's taking off his jacket now. He's going Jim Jordan status at the podium. Oh boy. But it's just something I notice is that every time I watch these, it's painful to watch him. That's a definite. But it's also painful to hear what the press comes out with. These are people who get almost no access to this man, and every time they get an opportunity to ask him something, they always have to reference Trump. They never can just ask him a legit question. All right, so now he's got the jacket off. I have a feeling this was an optics idea, too. Take your jacket off halfway through. You'll look like you're really strong.
He looks the opposite of strong, right? He looks like he's about to faint. I don't know how warm it is there, but he's like holding the podium like he's going to go down.
Let's get a live check on that, Jared. What is the temperature right now in Geneva? AJ, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, AJ.
Hello, this is AJ from New York, and I'm kind of wondering, here he is talking about human rights and Navalny, how it's non-humanitarian to treat your opponent this way. How is he treating Trump? I mean, Trump can't even Twitter. He can't even talk to over 100 million Americans who follow him.
Yeah, no, and AJ, I just want to add in here, you're absolutely right. I mean, the press, the left, the celebrities, all they did was talk about how Trump is this crazy authoritarian dictator. And then they actually meet with dictators and authoritarians, and they're like, hey, we got to show each other a little respect here. Trump never got any respect. Thank you for the call, AJ. I appreciate it.
It is 86 degrees right now in Geneva with 36% humidity. I can give him that one.
Can we get a wind check, Jared?
Wind is east-northeast, 2 miles per hour.
All right, so he should be good.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He should stay upright for today. That's wonderful news. That makes sense why he took his jacket off. We will have so many cuts for you at 2 o'clock. I can just tell by the way this is going. It's too hot. There's going to be some strange ramblings. Now, without further ado, let me reset this up for you guys a little bit. Mayor Lori Lightfoot is not a great boss. I don't need any more proof than this email, because you get emails from your boss sometimes. They ask you for certain things. Some people read into punctuation in emails. I'm one of those people. Like, if you just write back, okay, if Howie just wrote back, okay, in the back of my mind, I'd go, is he mad? Did I do something? Now, if I got an email like this from Howie Carr, I would know that I no longer had a microphone at the Howie Carr Radio Network, because this is psychotic. This is from Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and it's being described by outlets. It's drawing comparisons to the scene in The Shining. So there's a scene in The Shining where the woman goes over to the typewriter, and she finds all of the pages that just say, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And it's written over and over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to cut some of these out for time's sake, but I'll try to keep it as dramatic as I can. This is Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the public face of Chicago's, email to one of her staffers. Since my prior requests for office time are routinely ignored, I am now resorting to this. I need office time every day. I need office time every day. I need office time every day. Not just once a week or some days, every day. Not just once a week or some days, every day. Not just once a week or some days, every day. Every day. Breaks or transition times between meetings are not office time. Breaks or transition times between meetings are not office time. Breaks or transition times between meetings are not office times. If this doesn't change immediately, I will just start unilaterally canceling things every day. If this doesn't change immediately, I will just start unilaterally canceling things every day. Have I made myself clear finally? Have I made myself clear finally? Have I made myself clear finally?
Here's Johnny.
Here's Lori. She needs to take a massive chill pill. I understand it's a stressful job, but now here's a question, Jared. So I'm looking at this, and I really cut that down for you guys. I mean, if I had read every single one, I had said that earlier in the green room. I said, I'm going to read every single line for dramatic effect. And Taylor said, that is going to take you forever, because she wrote some of these like 18 times. But my question for you, Jared, do you think she wrote out every single one, or did she use the copy and paste button?
Oh, no, she wrote out every single one, which is surprising because there are no typos. No, this is the you know, like those memes of like a girl sending one of those super long texts to a guy.
And the boy writes back K.
Yeah, exactly. She was full on. She was getting her mad on this one.
Yeah, I just, and there's another email here. Let me see this. This person writes, hi, Mayor Lightfoot. Will you let me know if you have a quick second to chat about this? It can wait until tomorrow. And she writes back, here's my new practice for memos that come at the last minute. As I noted, I want decision memos no later than 48 hours before the decision is needed. And I have directed Madonna and Mika to reject all efforts to bring things to me directly that skirt these rules. I have asked nicely. Now I am done. This is a bit much. It really is. It's concerning. I don't know why she's so upset.
I can't imagine why Chicago has all the problems they have.
They have
with leadership
so,
like this.
They have so many problems. And actually, she got herself in trouble a while ago because she's a big part of this defund the police stuff. And then she ended up giving the police a lot more money, because things are going so horribly in Chicago. And the progressives, the left, did not like that. So I'm going to throw this question out here for a quick, fun segment before we get into all of the Biden comments that are just piling up as I talk.
Apparently he made a quote-unquote joke about invading Russia, so.
Oh, gosh. And now Yamiche Alcindor's at the mic. Oh, should we take Yamiche? No, we'll take Yamiche on the other side. But I do want to throw out a question here. Have you ever had a boss who's done anything like this to you, who has written an email like this? I've never had one. And guaranteed, I've only had a few bosses. I'm still relatively young. But is this normal behavior? Like in the corporate world? I know people have bad boss stories, so feel free to call in with that. But I just can't imagine that this flies. And the level of arrogance to think that no one's ever going to leak this. Like if I got that from Mayor Lori Lightfoot, I'd say, oh, great. Now I can quit my job and find a new job. And I have evidence that she is a complete psychopath. So 844-500-4242. We will have more Biden for you. And we'll talk a little bit about your crazy boss stories. 844-500-4242. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you've realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you'll know that no money was left on the table, and that is the best feeling in the world. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I'm going to put in a bet here that Yamiche Alcindor's question involved Donald Trump. I will find out during the break, and I'll let you know when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Quick note here before we dive on into more stories. Howie and I will be at the 110 Grill in Woburn on Friday, and we would love to see you guys. Our remotes have been so fun thus far, but I really encourage you to make a reservation because they do fill up pretty quick, and it's nice to have a spot and be able to enjoy the show. All right, so Joe Biden seems to be leaving. He's grabbing his jacket. He has his aviators on. I read that he actually gifted Vladimir Putin a pair of Randolph USA aviators, which is located right here in New England, in Randolph.
Nice.
Very nice sunglasses. So I'll keep you posted on that. But Jared informs me that we are going to have plenty, plenty of material at 2 o'clock. I know, guys. It's a visual thing, but I'm just looking at him up there. He's got the sunglasses on. He loves those shades. He really does. All right, so in the first... or in the last segment, we talked about Mayor Lori Lightfoot and her being a very, very bad boss. And it's funny because there's actually a few bad bosses in the news. Amazon tracks warehouse workers every move because Jeff Bezos thinks people are inherently lazy. Some Amazon policies were built to stop a march to mediocrity, a former executive told the New York Times. He pointed to a short-term employment model and performance trackers to keep workers on their toes. And the part of it I found the most interesting, the practices that are described are some of the company's most contentious, like firing employees for a single day of low productivity and continually keeping workers on task with limited break time and high productivity goals. The practices have left workers feeling as if Amazon treats them more like machines than people. And they also don't guarantee wage increases after a worker's first 3 years as a way to oust employees who might become too comfortable at Amazon or turn disgruntled. I always find it amazing that Jeff Bezos, who, by the way, his wife, I think, has officially donated like $8 billion of her net worth to or her money to charity, that they're so woke, you know, and they're so sanctimonious. And yet, in his own house, in his own warehouse, he treats his workers like dirt. It's almost like he's not practicing what he preaches, Jared.
He's going to space. He's like, whatever. So this planet.
I'm out of here.
See you later.
By the way, Cuomo halted investigation into Weinstein case after $25,000 donation from his former lawyer. I know it's easy to forget about Andrew Cuomo because there's so much news that came out about him, and then it seemed like everyone stopped caring. Like, we're just going to let him continue on being governor. But this is a pretty crazy story. In late June, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo quietly ordered the suspension of an ongoing investigation into whether the Manhattan District Attorney's Office had mishandled sexual assault allegations made against Harvey Weinstein. So this is kind of confusing because when you hear it, you think that he halted the investigation into Harvey, but that's not what happened. There was an investigation going on into, Cuomo's campaign received a $25,000 donation from Weinstein's former lawyer, David Bois's firm, on June 20th. Cuomo ordered the investigation into the DA's handling of the case to be halted for 6 months, an investigation notably that stemmed from the fact that Bois had donated $10,000 to District Attorney Cy Vance. I know you guys know that name. Before Vance's office dropped the case. So it's just another thing to add to the list of why Andrew Cuomo is the worst. Mark,
but I'd just like to say, in all fairness to Mr. Mellon here, it was a really big check.
Oh, I'm sure it was. You don't want to pass up $25K. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I saw that with Larry Lightfoot. I was thinking of Don Lemon. Remember when Justice Kavanaugh, the nomination and all the accusations, and they basically calling him a racist, and all this stuff is being, you know, refuted, you know, as lies and everything cooked up. And then after that, because their case against him was falling apart, Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon were on CNN telling people he doesn't have the temperament. This guy is being destroyed in front of his family, and he doesn't have the temperament. I wonder what they say about Laurie.
That's a really good point, Mark. If this were a Republican, there would be pieces in Time Magazine, in the New York Times, in the New Yorker. I mean, this would be all over the place. You're not going to find this story really anywhere, except for the Grace Curley Show, which is why you should tune in every day at 12. No, you're absolutely right. Brett Kavanaugh, that was kind of the most amazing part of that, was that they call him, you know, a rapist at one point, and they completely disparage his name, his life, his career, everything he's worked for. And then he gives his point of view and they go, wow, he's so angry. Talk about gaslighting.
Stop hitting yourself. He hit me.
Yeah, it's you got to calm down, bro. You seem like you're getting too upset about this. Everyone's texting me in about the Joe Biden stuff. Someone says, 919 says, Biden is babbling as you speak, Grace. Another person says, he's leaning into the mic now. Biden just said he would invade Russia. Then Biden said, by the way, that was a joke. Trump jokes about Russia finding Hillary's emails, which was a joke, but no pass for Trump. Very good point, 508. Guys, 63566, start your text with the word Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. We'll have all the Biden hot takes for you in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.